Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and round 4 is in the books at the Wyndham Championship. The PGA Tour's regular season is over, and we're headed towards the playoffs. Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to have you.
How's the boys? Greensboro's been fun. Bring on the playoffs.
Mark, you seem a little down in the dumps. Is that because the fans have made up about $2 million on you in the one and done over the past?
I was trying to do my best Jordan Spieth before we came on the air, and I was like, we're choking, Michael? Michael, are we choking? Michael, we're choking, aren't we? No.
I'm good.
I'm good with my plan for the playoffs.
We'll see how that pans out. Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, hello.
What's going on, boys? I can't believe that this regular season is over. It's gone so fast, and boy, has there been a lot to talk about this year.
This one was a doozy, too. This one's going to be fun. Kyle Porter rounds out our crew here. KP, welcome.
What up? Sneaky, really good day of golf. I've got a ton of stuff on the Women's Open. I know we're going to talk Tom Kim. I missed last week or last Sunday, the Finau parade. I was actually at, I don't think I've talked about this on here. I was at the Dude Perfect tour with my kids, which was just an extravaganza of fun.
Was they like a stage show?
Oh yeah. 14,000 at the American Airlines Center here in Dallas.
And they do trick shots.
Yeah. They do they do battles where, I mean, the trick shots are not,
that would be hard to do live, right?
Yeah. They can't do anything extraordinary live because the odds of making it are just too, you can't, but they do like their little, sort of variety act. And it was great. It was super fun. The kids were locked in. So it was a cool experience.
Kids were locked in. I love that. All right. Well, before
my wife got into it too. I was like, do you need a beer or something? Like, do we need to chill?
Who's the consensus favorite Dude Perfect guy of House Porter?
I think Kobe. Kobe's one of the twins.
Yeah. He's the best one.
I actually met him at the PGA Championship. I was following JT's group. I think it was before the playoff. And he was out there, and he was just incredibly nice, like even nicer than he seems on screen. So it was cool. Great. Only great things to say about the dudes.
All right. I like the dudes, but no more free ads for the dudes. Get them on board. Speaking of things that we need to do to pay the bills, the First Cut merchandise is 20% off the rest of the way. They've got hats and pullovers, and we have a glass here at the house with the First Cut on it, and my dad rocks his First Cut hat every day when he plays golf, and it's all available to you right now, 20% off, and the code that you need is FIRSTCUT20 at checkout. If you're watching on YouTube, you can use the QR code. Do you think, Greg, have you ever done this? Okay, so the promo code is FIRSTCUT20. They should try First Cut 30 first, right? I always do that when I have a promo code. I just assume there are other versions available.
I've never thought about that, Rick. That's a good idea. It might crash and burn the promo, but yeah, I guess it's worth a try.
Yeah, these are some good deals. I'm looking. I've just scanned the code. I'm aiming for that long sleeve tee. That's my jam over there.
Do you know how to scan a QR code?
Come on, well, you guys. Hold on.
I was going to say, this puts him back in front of the horse race between him and Coach for who's the most technologically savvy.
Mark, for sure.
Mark, you're way out in front now.
Coach, right. Coach wouldn't even know what to do if he saw that thing on the screen right now. Mark is much more technologically.
Yeah, I think it's a little blurry. There's a blurry square on my screen.
He would think it's one of those, what's the magic eye thing where you have to like squint to like make the picture work.
What do you have to do, Jacob? Coach is going to have to do the same promo for Early Edge.
Exactly. And I'm not looking forward to that. Just him trying to explain to people how to use a QR code. That's going to be fun.
All right. Well, try First Cut 50, try First Cut 40, try First Cut 30. But the one I know for sure works is First Cut 20. That'll get you 20% off your merch the rest of the way. Gentlemen, it was the Tom Kim Show. And let's just zoom out a little bit. We don't even have to talk about Sunday yet. We don't have to talk about his first hole of the event yet. But Mark, like, Tom Kim accepted special temporary membership status a couple of weeks ago. He needed to earn enough points to get his tour card for next year. And the only way that he was going to get access to the FedEx Cup playoffs that start next week was to go out and win. Like, that's the backdrop. So it's already like a long shot that we even see this guy in the playoffs, and we're expecting him to have full status for next year. But what he does en route to this victory, it's such a great story even before the tournament began.
Yeah, I was fortunate to cover him today, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is an odd story, but where he turned my head was a Monday morning, the flight back from Detroit to Atlanta. We're on the same plane there, and it's one of those rides where you don't fly, you essentially bounce to wherever you're going because the turbulence was so bad. And I've been flying a long time, and I'm looking over this guy. He walked in to the airplane, sat down in his seat, put his hoodie on, his headphones on, sat in his chair to sleep. Slept the entire way, and this plane was bouncing hither and yon, just all over the place, and we bounced our way down to Atlanta, didn't budge. And I'm like, this guy must have ice in his veins. And the way he played today was that way inclined. And it was so thrilling to watch because it's unlike a Rory or a Dustin Johnson or someone that goes and sort of manhandles a golf course. This guy sort of did it with wit and guile and smarts. And he drives the ball long enough, but not very long. And he's accurate. And like he's hitting 3 irons to par threes when other guys are hitting 5 irons and stuff. And he's just an assassin. He's so accurate and so poised and so calm. And he just went out and grabbed this thing and won it. He didn't back down whatsoever. The only mistake he made was the unforced error. I think he made a bogey on 10 after a poor tee shot with 3 medal. But you could have sort of given that to him because he's just turned in 27 or 8 or 9 or whatever he shot on the front side. And he makes one bad swing and draws the worst lie I've seen in the entire week. And it's a poor wedge shot, but otherwise it was majestic. It was complete virtuoso, and he plays an all-style game and is just so accurate. I was like, wow, this is good stuff.
Yeah, the turbulence continued onto his first hole of the week. Greg, he made an 8. That's a quad, and for the first time in ShotLink history, a golfer made a triple or worse. No one's made a triple or worse and gone on to win. Tom Kim does it with a quad on number one, grinds his way back to one over on his opening 9, and then just puts it into hyperdrive. I mean, he was calm, cool, and collected in a situation where there would have been some guys who just pulled the ripcord on the second tee box on Thursday morning and said, it's been a nice week. I'll catch you guys down the road.
Yeah, well, not him. I mean, rather dominant 71 holes, right? I mean, come on. He won by 5. He wins by 5 and made a quad on his first hole. That it's unbelievable. That performance, well, just the first round in itself, to get it to 3 under par for the first round was a sight to be seen. And that was really something else. But, you know, I think you mentioned earlier, Rick, that he was a non-member had accepted the special temporary membership, but he had already had accumulated 419 points. That would have put him about 100th, and that would get him his card for next year. And I have a feeling that locking up his card for next year was kind of took a little bit of the stress off, took a little of the pressure off. And now this is bonus time, right? It's win or we'll see you next year. I got my card already. And the only thing he had to do was win. And he went out and torched the place for the rest of the next 71 holes. It was absolutely incredible. And you don't see that stuff. Well, ever. You never see a guy make a quad on the first hole and win. But now we do.
Yeah. First time ever. A game that's been around. We've been tracking it for 40 years, I guess, but I can't imagine there's too many other instances before that. KP, the Sunday 61. I'm not. This is not a verbal typo here. He went out in 27, 2-7. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
seven, birdies and seven threes.
Yeah, at 6 birdies and an eagle to go out in 27. Trying to capture not only your first win, but the only thing that will get you into the playoffs. That is ice in the veins type of stuff.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a little Clay Thompson-ish with seven threes in the first half of the round. I'm curious. I want to give Mark a little time to answer this and not just put him on the spot, but just so you have time to think about it, Mark, I'm curious about who your comp is for Tom Kim. Just in terms of playing style, I love his swing. I think it's really, especially as like off the tee, is really, really smooth and good off the tee. You know, the thing that stood out this week, Rick, was he led the field in putting. He almost led the field in putting just based on that first nine alone on Sunday. But he leads the field in putting. He hits it good, not elite, but he hits it good enough to win the golf tournament, obviously. I think the thing that I'm trying to contextualize and trying to figure out, obviously he's an extraordinary talent. And I think Mark said it well in the broadcast when he talked about how he's just so, I think Mark said like an old head on a young, what did you say, Mark? I'm going to butcher it.
Yeah. Old head on young shoulders.
Yeah. And I thought that was really smart because I thought he played really maturely for anybody on the PGA Tour, much less a 20-year-old in a pretty good field. And so I think the thing that I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to contextualize is this, I mean, we haven't seen this, Rick. Like, this does not happen to win at this age on the tour. You saw Spieth do it. Obviously, he's the only one younger since World War II. Matthew Wolff did it at a similar age. But is like what is this? Is it Spieth part two? Is it a little bit of the, I think Siwoo was what, 21 when he won the Players, and he's had a good career, but not a Spieth career. I'm trying to figure out like, you know, who knows how it's going to go, but this is sort of what we do is try to project and figure these things out. I'm super interested because he does seem to be really mature in the same way that I'm not saying he's going to be Jordan Spieth, but in the same way Spieth was when he was 19 and he wins Quad Cities, which I guess this was the Quad City again with the quad on one on Thursday. But yeah, that for me is, I don't know what he's going to be, but I'm super interested to find out.
Well, here are some of the stats, Mark, to tee up here, because the stats are jarring. As Kyle mentioned, the second youngest to win behind Jordan Spieth, he becomes the first player to win on tour who was born in the 2000s. Does that make us all feel old? And as Justin Ray notes, the youngest player age 20 since World War II to win a PGA Tour event by multiple strokes, did it by five, Mark, five.
You know what would have been cool, though? Because we were joking about it in the break. So they're like, well, he made quad on the first hole. He should just make quad on the last and win by one. That'd be
cool. We'll get into this thing with a couple of quads, get your victory, and move on.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do it.
You know, I was thinking about Kyle's question about a comp, and I'll probably show my age here, because the way he played it, I can't think of anyone sort of, you know, in the modern game, the power game, that is comparable because he's just so complete. And so I would almost take a step back and say, if I was comparing him, just what I watched today in terms of how he swings it, there's no flashing speed ever. So he doesn't hit many flyers out of the rough. He can stand there with a wedge and hit it 125 or 135 or 105, and he gets the ball to flight the same way. And he hit some long irons today that was just, I mean, they were like Hogan-esque. That three iron he hit into 12 was a lot of club, right? And he just took something off it and caressed the thing up there to about 6 feet off the back of the green. So I would say, as I was comparing to Kyle's question, I'd almost go and nod to Nick Felder, because Felder had such a fundamentally sound golf swing, and he was so balanced. And I don't use the word complete very much, but Felder was a wonderful driver of the golf ball, accurate. He was a tremendous iron player. He made the right decision all of the time. He never did anything rash, but when he was in position, Nick would finish. If it was a Ryder Cup putt to win, or if it was a putt to win a major championship, Nick Felder would finish. And I watched a guy finish today, and I watched a guy who, under pressure, I was never concerned if he drove the ball in the rough, he was going to hit this jet that came out there and just tumbled over the back of the green and got stuffed. He sort of approaches the hole. And then when he hit that three iron off an upslope into 15, the par five, I mean, this thing was on the button. And it was right where I said to Nance, I'm like, you can't see the flag, but on the edge of our TV tower, about 222, that covers the bunker. And this thing took off on the edge of the tower, landed in the heart of the green, curved in there, and Appy Barnrat comes up to him and sort of gives him the fist bump as if to say, dude, that was legit. And so I would say modern-day players, I'd have to think a whole lot more, but he sort of looked like Felder to me, just the way he went about things.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting, and it begs two questions. One, can Tom Kim, as he grows, I mean, he's 20, just turned 20. He was 19 2 months ago. Can he gain speed and distance and all the things that are needed for the modern game? And then the second question is, can you compete not at the Wyndham Championship, but at the Masters, at LACC, at the PGA Championship with a Fado-esque game? It's a Fado is maybe the greatest Euro player of all time. I think it's him and Seve, and modern wise, you throw Rory in there probably, but it was a different game when he was playing in the late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s. And I hope that somebody like Tom Kim can compete in those championships, because I think that I don't want the game of golf to be reduced to just like who can hit it the farthest, right? I think the touch that Mark's talking about is more fun to watch for me. And so I don't know. I'm curious to see like how that progresses as he gets older.
Yeah. One more thing, and then I'll let Greg have a go here. He competed at a very firm, fast Scottish Open. So if he gets conditions like that, I feel like he can. So if you get an LACC, which is likely to play firm, the ball's going to get on the ground, that's going to be right up his alley. And if he gets a place that tumbles some, which we know Augusta National can, if it stays dry, then I can see him competing there, because like the examination this week was to play from the fairway and to on wide lines on Donald Ross, Alistair McKenzie type courses, CB McDonald, you take wide lines and you drip the ball around the hole. And these greens were immaculate, but dangerous. And if you were putting well, they were like, it was heavenly. And if you were putting poorly, it was like punishment, because they were so, you have to trust these lines that are wide. You can't go ripping the ball at the hole. And that's, to me, sounds like Augusta National. So look, he's still young, man. He's 20. Let's remember Sungjae Im is 24 or 5, I think, too. I mean, he's still a pup. So, right now, I think the future's bright. We'll just see how the whole thing plays out.
I think so, too. And I think there are two really strong parallels and examples, maybe not exact, but I think in the game today you have Colin Morikawa, who's competing in major championships regularly, who doesn't hit it all that far. And I was reminded this week of what Morikawa did at the 3M when Matt Wolf won. Morikawa came in fourth or tied fourth or something like that, but he was so cool under the heat. His tempo never changed. He relied on his iron play, and I saw a lot out of that. I saw a lot of that in Tom Kim this week. Now, I don't think he's the iron player Morikawa is, but I mean, maybe he can be. He's had some flashes so far this year where he's been elite, and he's been very good. I mean, he's gained over six shots before approaching the green for a week. He's had some more losses than Morikawa did when he first came out, but also the accuracy is something that really stands out to me. So far this year on tour, he's hit 72% of his fairways. And I think in the modern game, if you don't hit it really far, you have to be really accurate and you have to be a good long iron player. And he showed us this week, he's both of those things. So the other guy that I would draw a parallel to in the modern game would be Patrick Cantlay, where Cantlay, it seems like he has a little more in the tank distance wise.
Well, Morikawa does too. I wanted to say this. It's a beautiful comparison, but Colin can move it. He doesn't look like he is, but the ball gets on the ground and goes. And so, I mean, if I've called them both, I would say Morikawa is probably a half a club longer, maybe a club, and certainly he's got a bit more on the off the tee.
Yeah, and maybe that's enough to be a difference, right? A 3-iron versus a 4-iron, that might make a difference in a major championship. But I think those two guys are examples of players who can compete at the highest level that don't rely on just bombing it. Even though they're long, by all accounts, they're not relying on just bombing it. They rely on other skill sets heavily.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Kim has that potential.
I think real quick, two things, Rick. One, winning at 20 is really incredible. And I think there's something to that. I don't know what that something is going to end up being, but you know, we saw Akshay win a Korn Ferry event earlier this year. This was not the Memorial, but it was a good field, right? And it had Zalatoris and it had Cantlay and it had guys that are really good players. It's crazy that Tom Kim won before Zalatoris, by the way, but so I think that's really meaningful. But I also want to, I think, pump the brakes of, not with you guys, but just broadly, of like it's also not, you know, just him boat racing the field with tee to green play that we've never seen before. His tee to green play was good. It was fine. It was his putter that got hot for a week, and that it's. I don't know. I think it's a meaningful differentiation between those two things. Because when you're 19 and you just destroy a field like this from tee to green, that's something entirely different than getting, you know, hot with the putter for four rounds.
He gained 12.5 strokes putting, the 16th best putting performance since we started tracking this. So that's the Shot Link era. So you've got about 18 years of data there. KP, I think this is kind of like one of the hardest things that we do, right? When a guy wins young and he wins early, you start getting the immediate comps to like Morikawa and Spieth. We probably, correct me if I'm wrong, if you remember, we probably heaped the same accolades on Garrick Higo, who won a month after turning 21. And that has not necessarily turned out the way that I think he would like. So there's like a lot of different directions this can go in.
Well, I think Higo is an interesting comp because if you remember, like... And this is, I think I said this in the moment. Hopefully I did. You can check the tapes. But he statistically shouldn't have won that golf tournament, right? You had like two or three guys kick it away. And so it was a little bit, it was great for him, but it was also a little bit unfair of like, yo, dude, you've won three of five events. I think you won two on the European tour. And then he wins South Carolina. And all of a sudden, he's supposed to be the next big thing. It's like, well, let's look a little bit closer and set some realistic expectations. And I think that's a little bit of what I want to do with Kim. I think Kim is probably a bigger, not that you were asking about a Higo Kim direct comp. I think Kim is probably a more heralded talent overall. But to me, it's a little bit like, it's great, but it. I'm not sure it sort of projects the way that people might think it does right now. Have just seen the headline of a 20-year-old winning a PGA Tour event.
Well, we're on it, Cal, because Garrick is a friend and I've watched him grow up. And I don't think there's a comparison between them at all. Garrick is kind of wild off the tee. He fights a hook. He's got an unreal short game. He scrambles like he's like a magician. And I think, with love to my friend, Tom Kim is way more rounded than Garrick Higo is right now. Now, Garrick is talented enough to get there, but it's no comparison right now. I called Garrick's win in South Carolina. I called a win over here. It was two different performances, and that wasn't just the score on the bottom of the card. It was the way the whole thing was constructed.
Yeah.
And I just, and to put a bow on it, Greg, my larger point there being like, yeah, like in the moment, you know, Higo had won 3 of 5. He gained 8 strokes ball striking at the Palmetto. Yeah, maybe some guys melted down. That was one of those situations where he posted and everybody else fell apart. But I probably remember being very, very high, right? And that's not to say that Garrick Higo isn't going to figure it out and rattle off a bunch of more PGA Tour victories, but like they're so young. They are so raw. They're so young. It's so difficult to be able to kind of project where they're headed in the next 5 or 10 years.
Right. I mean, how do you handle being a PGA Tour winner? What do you do once you have reached that stage? The one thing to me is it seems, and this is where the Garrick Higo comparison is so similar. Kyle mentioned the 2 wins on the DP World Tour. He had 1 on the Sunshine Tour. He had accumulated a couple of wins before his PGA Tour victory. But so is Tom Kim. I mean, this is his 7th professional win. He's 20. Now, 2 of them were on the Asian Development Tour. So they're, but still 7 professional wins at the age of 20. And I think there's something to that more often than there's not. So I know Garrick Higo is a good comp and it hasn't worked out yet. But I think when you look at the broader strokes, this is a pretty special talent.
Yeah.
Tom Kim, congratulations. You're a PGA Tour winner, 15 starts into your PGA Tour career. You will indeed tee it up next week in the playoffs. I'm talking to him like he listens. Could you imagine if he was tuning in right now? Like, I'll check out the First Cut pod. Rick will congratulate me.
And yeah. We'll jump in the chat if you are.
Tom, let us know if you want to pop in. We'll send you the link. Gentlemen, we've got to talk about the playoff implications. Playoff implications, because there are many of them. We will do that, but first we'll take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. The FedEx Cup playoff field is set. 125 in. Mark the...
Maybe 128.
Well, that is very true. Maybe 120. Yeah. We will hear word on the Live Boys seemingly any day to see if they will be playing in Memphis. But 125 on our list right now. And we were following all week long. Who's going to be the 125th guy? Who's going to be 124? All this stuff. Well, the Tom Kim win because he was not previously a member, actually knocks out the 125th golfer, in this case, Matt Wallace. Apologies. You are on the outside looking in because Tom Kim will be playing next week.
Hey, Jacob, who got in the 125th spot? Jacob.
Ricky Fowler.
Really have so many opportunities for that, Mark.
Yeah, how about that? You know, yes, Fowler wasn't playing great. We actually played horribly and missed the cut. And then he ends up making it on the number. I mean, and there were guys that were in and out. And there was a horrid story Friday morning when they came back to finish because we had weather two afternoons where Austin Smotherman is finishing on 9, which is the easier of the two sides. 8 is a shortish par 4. It's like an iron and a wedge or three wood and a wedge. 9, you had something less than driver off the tee, and you've got 9-iron or 8-iron up the hill. Birdie holes, really. And Smotherman finishes 4-6 to miss and essentially knock himself out of the running. And there was Justin Lower today was in again, out again. And there was all sorts of stories, like there always are. But, you know, to be that first guy out for Wallace, I mean, that's got to suck. Because he's turned his game around. He told me in Mexico earlier this year that he changed instructors and things were going in the right direction. And, you know, because he was kind of the can't miss guy at one stage after having a few wins in Europe and stuff. And then game fell on hard times, started working in spring, almost a la Fowler. Garrick Higgo's now changed instructors too. And so then you've got a chance and you can't finish it off. It's rough. It's what makes this event always for me so poignant, because you come to this place where they're advertising vacations and everyone's having a grand time. And there's these guys on the bubble that are fighting for their playoff and their maybe even the PGA Tour career. So it's the shadow side of what is the PGA Tour, and it's some of what makes the PGA Tour great.
I've got a take real quick. Mm-hmm. And it's not that hot of a take because the tour is implementing it next year. These guys should not be in the playoffs. Like if the guys at the 125 market, what is, and this is not to pick on Ricky Fowler. I actually was watching him this week and wanting, like, just missing him playing well, cause that was super fun. But what has Ricky Fowler done this year that would say, like, would imply that he deserves to be in any kind of postseason format for golf?
Well, you know, Kyle, I think it's really interesting. And going to the top 70, I think it aligns with other sports kind of nicely, right? You're mm-hmm. talking about it. Let's just say there's 140 cards or however many there really end up being. About half the guys, the top half, get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, the NFL is like. They got 32 teams top. There are 14 teams that make the playoffs. The NBA and the NHL have 8 of their 16 of their 32 teams get into the playoffs. And I think it's a much more appropriate number. So I really like what they're doing. I think it's a good move.
I do too. And I listen, like, if you want to, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think those guys at the, like, the 110, 120, 125 or whatever, they're going to have an opportunity to keep their cards, right? Like that. I'm not saying you should lose your card. I'm just saying I don't think Ricky and it's a little bit, I think sometimes when we see the Nick Taylors of the world and the Kramer Hickoks of the world down here, we're like, oh yeah, that's great. They're in the playoffs. But it gets a little bit highlighted when Ricky Fowler's in there and he was a former top 8 player in the world, top 7 player in the world, whatever he was. And you're like, man, I don't think he has a top 10 this year. You can check me on that, Rick. I don't think he does, though. And so you're like, okay, you don't finish in the top 10 in any tour event all year. Should you be in the postseason? That just seems a little bit, it got highlighted a little bit with Fowler being the last man in into this year's playoffs.
We'll turn this into a trivia game. He has one top 10 this year. I know. Don't say.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was CJ Cup Summit.
Yeah, that's right.
He battled almost a year ago.
Yeah, so maybe that's on me for not remembering that one. But that's still, like, I think the point stands of, like, okay, so you see Brandon Wu 70th. Wow. Okay. Maybe they should cut it to like 25 into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Wu, that would be six. That would be 71 because you got Tom Kim jumping up.
Oh
there,
yeah,
34.
Ray Polinax would be the last.
I'd love you guys to have this conversation with numbers 100 through 125 and see what they have to say about your hot take.
For a little while. They already had the conversation with the tour. Like, they're out next year. And I think, again, I think that's making the playoffs should be special, right? Like, you should have had to have had a good, and it's all relative, right? They're the top 125 guys in the world. I realize they're very good at golf, but you should have had to have had a relatively really strong year to make it into the postseason. And guys at 100, 115, 120, they just haven't. And I think I'm glad they're going to the top 70 next year.
So what about NFL teams? Because I'm a Falcons fan, right? And their years that the Falcons have snuck into the playoffs with like a barely winning record. I remember the one year the Giants got in on the wild card and end up winning the entire bang. Shoot. You're making comps to other sports, but you see that in the NFL a bunch. You have the teams that are, 12-3 or whatever the record is, and you've got teams that are basically 500 making in the playoffs. Basketball, baseball, the same thing. What say you there?
Well, but still half the teams don't make it, right? That's what you're saying, Greg.
That's exactly it. So it doesn't necessarily matter what you know, it's not about scoring average. Which would be
it's all relative
records. It's relative. The top half get in, and the Falcons don't get relegated. Right, they don't lose their spot as an NFL team. They just have to come back again next year and try. So I think that's where Kyle's saying, "Hey, you shouldn't lose your job. You just to make the playoffs. It's an additional step. It's like you have to have an exceptional performance to reach the playoffs. And sometimes in the NFL, that's that might be 8-8, but or I guess now it'd be 9-8 or 8-8-1 or something like that. But you have to beat half the teams. You have to have a better record than half the teams. And I think that's a fair aspect. I think it's crucial. And I also like the fact that they've shortened the FedEx Cup season starting in January. Those events become more important. Each and every one of them for even for really big names.
I thought you meant shortening it to three playoff events, Greg. Sorry.
I like that too.
Yeah. I.
But I can't go here. And they're about 250 card members of the tour anyway. So, but you go where you're going. I can't be there. Sorry.
To me, it's nothing against the guys that are 100 to 125, but to have a chance to win the FedEx Cup, I like the aspect that once you get into the playoffs, you have a realistic chance of winning the championship. And that's what you do see in the NFL. Again, it's so hard to compare these other sports, but the postseason, it's an accomplishment to get there. And then from there, everybody who's in has a chance to win the championship. So I think by shrinking that down, you highlight both of those things. The guys that are in 70th are a lot closer to, making a move in those first two playoff events and getting up there and having a real chance to win. Yet at the same time, they're very worthy of that spot. And it's not just keeping your card. So I like that little gap there where the postseason doesn't mean you're just keeping your job, but it's an exceptional performance.
Ricky Fowler in on the number. Couple other notables. Zalatoris actually dropped a spot, got leapfrogged by Sungjae Im. So Sungjae's up to 10. Zalatoris down to 12. Sungjae gets a little bit of that Comcast business.
He got a bonus.
And cash money. I don't know what 10th pays, but he got a little extra for that. Do we have it? Oh, do we know how much 10th pays Jacob in the Comcast?
I could try Googling, see if that helps.
All right, we'll find out. While we do that, there was other great golf. Kyle, you alluded to this earlier in the show. The Women's British Open. How about this? A playoff. Playoff. We got playoffs. Thank you. On the PGA Tour, we've got an actual playoff at the Women's British Open. Ashley Buhai gets it done. 4 playoff holes. I know you were locked in on this one.
I was locked in. I watched most of the back nine and the entire playoff. And she So there was a lot going on. I don't follow women's golf super closely. I mean, we kind of do the majors and don't really extend a lot outside of that. So I was like, okay, who's I can't even say her last name, but Ashley, how did you say it? Buhai?
I believe Buhai. Mark, she's South African, right?
Buhai, yeah.
Yeah, I've known her since she was like, yeah. Buhai.
So I went in thinking like, okay, is this like a mega Cinderella story? Is this just from out of nowhere? And the reality is that it's not. She was ranked 84th in the world. She's at one point was the youngest ladies European Tour winner ever, I think at 18. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. She was a stud coming up in South Africa. Her pro career has been good, but not amazing. She only had one top 10 at a major, but she's played in 43 of them. I mean, she's played in a lot of major championships over the course of his career, of her career. And so when she makes triple on 15 to fall back into a tie for first with Ng Chun, who she eventually went to a playoff with, and it was kind of devastating to watch. Cause I mean, how many times have we seen this at majors and at opens, especially where the wheels just come off and it starts just kind of coming apart down the stretch. She hung in, she parred the last three to get into the playoff. They split the first three playoff holes. And then on the fourth playoff hole, she hits this insane bunker shot on 18 to make par. And Ng Chun left her par bid short on 18 that would have sent them to a fifth playoff hole. Probably would have gone to Monday because it was extremely dark there. But the part for me that was so cool was you get to the end and this woman who's had, you know, like a solid pro career, but nothing special, nothing amazing, no major wins, very little major contention. You can almost see it come across her face of trying to just take in or contextualize or sort of just understand what she had just done. And that to me is what I love the majors for, that reason, men's side, women's side, whatever. And to do it at Muirfield, where, you know, Ernie Els won in 02, Gary Player won in 1959. There just that moment where she makes the final putt, she pulls her hat down, and she just, you can just see it written all over her face, how special that was and how it was almost hard to, and she said this afterwards, like, it'll hit me 3 days from now or 5 days from now or whatever. It was almost hard for her to contemplate what she had just done. And all major wins are life-changing, but they're not equally life-changing. That one was more life-changing than, you know, Brooks Koepka winning for a fourth time or Rory winning for a fifth time or whatever. And so that to me was just a really special part of the day.
May I add, Rick?
Please.
I've known her for a long time, and I sent her a text before we went on the show, and I was like, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And then I said something to the effect of, you're always destined for greatness. Because when she was a kid, she was one of those. When she played golf, there wasn't any competition for her in the girls' game in South Africa. And she went abroad and she won everything there was to win, and she was destined for success. But, you know, with people like that, and we sort of see it a little bit with Rory, the people that are expected to win, both from the fans and the family and oneself, when stuff starts to go wrong, that makes the climb back up the mountain even more difficult. And then she got injured, and then she got out of shape a little bit and started fighting. Her swing changed a little, and she started fighting with her game, and she got married. And so everything was – she was almost going away as a player, but then she found – you know, a little gumption maybe to get back at it and fought her way back on the European Tour, then the LPGA Tour. And there were a few golfers, Leanne Pace is one of them, who I taught when she was a kid, that overtook Ashley as like the leading South African ladies golfer. Then there was Nicole Garcia and stuff. And Ashley just stuck to it. And eventually what was inside her showed up. And I was getting updates sort of through the event today because I couldn't watch. And Dottie called during a break. She goes, Ashley just made a triple. I was like, oh, no, this is it. And I was so happy when I found out that she hung in there, and then she hung in the playoff, because she sort of showed the stuff that she had within. Because if you speak to any South African who sort of knows golf, we all kind of figured she'd do this. And now she's a major champion. And what makes it super special, and you said it, Kyle, to win at Muirfield, First time they've had a ladies event there, right, at the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers. And both Ernie and Gary Player have won there. So there's it sort of ties a beautiful bow on the whole thing, and I'm just jacked for it. It's the best.
Yeah, I'm glad Mark brought it up as well here, Greg, because it's such a great historic place for an unbelievable championship. Remember, they only allowed women in as members as a couple of years ago. So to be able to have a Women's British Open there to crown this very deserving victor at this golf course and add her name to the list of the greats that have also accomplished similar feats, it was a very cool moment.
Yeah, and it's a first. And right now, this stands out in history as something that's extraordinary and once in a lifetime. But as time goes on, it'll only grow. And, you know, we've had open championships at Muirfield for a very, very long time. And now I believe that we'll have women's opens there for a very, very long time to come. And that's a really, really cool thing to be the first one to do that. And to add another South African to the list is a very, very cool thing to do it. And to do it in the way that she did. I mean, back against the ropes, you go in with a 5-shot lead and you make a triple at 15 and you're in the greenside bunker at 18. And the bunker shot she hit on 18 was in the playoff was just
unbelievable. Incredible. Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of, you know, that moment could be replayed for years and years and years to come. So it was really special, really cool to watch. And I think this one will be well received in history.
Hey, Rick, after Gary Player's leadership, it's mandatory for South Africans that you have to be good out of greenside sand. So I'm sure he'd be proud.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, I was actually just watching the clip on Twitter again, and I could watch it 1,000 more times. Great stuff there. Gentlemen, we've got just a few more things to do. We got to recap our best bets. And oh, yes, we've had movement, plenty of movement in the one and done. We'll hit those. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. Best bets. KP, you and I on the losing end of two top 20s. You went with Callum Tarran. I went with Vince Whaley. Both of these were good for about 2.5 rounds, but unfortunately, we could not cash our tickets in 2.5 rounds in.
Yeah, where did Callum Tarran finish T27? He was 6 under today, so he made a little run at it. But yeah, bummer there. How far back did he finish of 20th? Two shots.
Yeah, so two shots back. Yeah,
God, margins. They're just minuscule.
I had shout out to Pendrith, by the way.
Yeah.
What a week back to back. That was cool.
I will not, I can pat coach on the back here because he won't, you know, he won't hear it and I'll never do it to his face or anything because it's too much to handle. But coach had, I think a Tom Kim picked a win. He had Tom Kim in the one and done, which we'll get to in a second. He had Taylor Pendrith, top Canadian. Coach had a very, very good week, but don't let anybody know I said anything nice about him.
He's the smartest guy alive. Just ask him. It's true.
So good. One and done update. So I kind of spoiled a little bit here, but KP, big week. 649,000 from Sung JM. You and the fans got over $500,000. Unfortunately, you don't get the $1 million bonus that Sung J got for the Comcast Business Tour top 10. You'll have to settle for the 649.
Well, here's another take. My disdain for the fans jumping into this competition is so great that I would give up my Sungjae money if they had to give up theirs just so Mark could preserve the victory this year.
I like that take, Kyle. Good job.
I why am I in last, by the way? What is this? A did I pick Sungjae like two other times before, or is this just a typo?
I think we got to you're not. It's the numbers are right, the order is wrong. So you just need, we need to just refresh the order of it.
Yeah, all you got to do is flip UNC.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I'm actually not it's great timing for me, you know, to finally get hot with two events left in the regular season. It's phenomenal. Great stuff this year for me and the one and done.
Sia Najad went with Billy Horschel, 47,937. Greg, you and I got Siwooed.
Ah, he killer.
Do we have the Siwoo drop?
Shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass.
It's phenomenal. I was singing that yesterday. Drop? My wife was like, What are you doing? Why are you saying that?
He was 3 under going into the final round. Bogeyed 10. Got birdies at 12 and 13, made a double on 14, a double on 16, and said goodbye. He withdrew. So we don't get anything for this. We don't even get like the min made cut money. We get nothing. $0.
Does he understand what he's done to us?
I got to tell you guys a good story, right?
Last
week in Detroit. So we're getting ready for the round and you're doing research and out on the range and stuff. And so I go out there and Colt is on the Golf Channel show, Colt Nost. And he's talking with Siwoo and looking in the bag. And he comes to me and he goes, Siwoo's got a 5-degree driver. I'm like, really?
That's
because it has a real weak grip. And so Colt goes, why 5 degrees? And Siwoo goes, because sometimes I got to putt with it.
He does. That's true.
He did it at Augusta.
He breaks clubs so often. Sometimes I got to putt with it.
So good. That's a great story. He's
the best. What a line.
Funny. All right. We'll forgive him for the goose egg then. That's you and I. Greg Coach, as mentioned, the full Monty. $1.3 million as the lone wolf with Tom Kim vaulting the coach to $8.6 million. Jacob, he's hot on your heels. Thankfully, you had Russell Henley who got you $270,000 and you're just a hair ahead of coach, but he's in the rear view and objects are larger than they appear.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of The Office, which you said earlier, like, why would you never say that to coach's face whenever you're complimenting him? It's because it would be absolutely brutal for everyone involved. This tournament has been feast or famine for pretty much everyone. You like our picks either finish in the top five or they just quit. So that's been a lot of fun to
literally
on the track, like literally just withdrew. I mean, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I think I could still make a run here if Mark continues, you know, picking guys with great course history and bad backs.
Yeah, I know it's guy next week.
Do we know this guy next week?
Yeah, well, course history and bad backs.
Yeah. DJ?
No.
Burger.
Memphis?
Burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since.
I don't think I have anybody for next week.
Before John Deere.
I don't think I have anybody in the field.
You boys need to pipe down a second because I've normally got three options for each event. And Jacob will vouch. He's got the text on his phone where when I sent my one and done pick in, I was like, with everything in me, I want to go with Henley, but I'm going to stick to my plan, which turned out badly. All right. And then Jacob's like, yeah, you pick injured guys on good golf courses. So I've got three options next week. One of them is injured. The other one is playing really well. And the other one's coming back from injury. If that helps you guys with who my pick's going to be.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you tell me. I'm
I would say you should probably look at Daniel Berger's Instagram story before you start picking him for next week.
I saw him swimming in the Gulf in the Atlantic Ocean there. He's chilling. He's I'm likely to go with my second pick.
DJ and Paulina on the boat.
He's with DJ?
I don't know if they're okay. The way it looks, I don't know if they're with each other or their boats past each other. It might be just two-way traffic, but I don't know. You have to pull up.
Vibin said to me in the Range and Memorial, he was telling me about Dustin Johnson's boat, and he goes, "This thing is unreal. I mean, it's like tens of millions of dollars worth of boat," and he says the thing is incredible. So I'm sure he was hanging out there a little bit.
Sung JM, $649,700 for the fans to now break them through the $10 million mark. Now, Mark, they are just 1.6 million behind you because Webb Simpson, who, when this thing went to a weather delay on Friday night and he had a hole to play, said, "No thanks, I'll get out of town," withdrew. Technically, he wasn't going to make the cut. Got you $0. And this was once a $3 million, $3.5 million lead down to 1.6. It's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, first off, Friday afternoon, Billy Ray Brown's going out there. And I said to him, "Billy Ray, I need Webb Simpson to make the cut. You better bring the juju out there." And he goes, "Duh, I got you, Mark. Don't worry about it." And then I get a text. He goes, "Webb can't putt the thing in the ocean." And then I turn on the TV, and Webb 3-putts from about 30 feet and 11. And I'm like, "Oh, here we go." And then 12 gets on the green on the wrong tier, puts it off the green, and then makes double or whatever it was. And I was like, "Oh, here we are." And so the writing was sort of on the wall Friday afternoon, and I was disappointed. But, you know, I like the way you only say there's only 1.5 million behind. Okay. And I've got some decent bullets left in my holster. So we're doing okay.
I gotta hype it up. I gotta get the fans all hot. Keep and bothered. Going. You know,
it does feel a little women's open ish.
Funny.
Full there, like, just, I mean, if it is, that means you still win. It just gets a little more interesting at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I'm checking it down the end.
What are the purses, Jacob? What's BMW Championship first place next week? It's gotta be like 1.5 or 1.6.
It's probably more than that, I would think.
BMW Championship.
I bet it's the FedEx Cup is 8. Tour Championships 18 million.
Yeah, we're going back to that. Let's see. BMW. Again,
I have nobody in that field, Greg.
Oh my God. Mark, you're in big trouble. They jacked up the purse.
But you guys knew that when it happened here recently.
2.7.
So it's a good thing I got some thoroughbreds in my holster. You guys are going to be trotting out whoever. The fans, they got a bunch of people available, but the rest of you, who are you playing with?
So do we double the BMW championship purse for the tour championship? Do we just move the goalposts now? Like, I know we
said,
I know. Well, we could take, Jake, we have a quorum here, so I think we could take.
Hey, you know what? You know what 2.7 doubled is? LIV.
Oh, well, we got to do it now.
So hold on. So next week, FedEx St. Jude 2.7, BMW Championship 2.7. We have the Tour Championship has to be more than that.
Coach is the commissioner. He gets to decide. And Jacob, you know what? I've got respect for you, but when you start doing this sort of stuff, I start getting somewhat.
Aren't they pretty much the same purses?
Which are?
The St. Jude and then BMW.
Yeah, they're like the exact.
Yeah.
So we double. Which one do we double? Sticking with double in Memphis, right, for the Tour Championship.
Well, that's what we had.
Yeah, that's great. That's fine. Yeah, cool.
That makes sense because it's FedEx. There you go.
Yeah, that's what we. There you go. That was the plan all along. Okay. Wow. All right.
Check with the commissioner first. You got to.
He's in a good mood tonight. We probably get anything passed at this point. You get anything we want passed if we need it.
Coach is like Rory. He's a player commissioner.
Yeah, he's here to please the players.
He's like Jackie Moon.
Player coach commish.
Yeah, player coach owner commish.
He would probably put on similar promotions too.
It's free gerbil night. First not one and done.
That sounds like coach's wheelhouse right there. Free gerbil night.
Corn dog, coach. Corn dogs.
Oh god, I gotta watch that now. All right, gents, we're headed to the playoffs. Any final thoughts before we get out of here on the Wyndham Championship?
Tom Kim was not alive for the Justin Leonard putt at Brookline, which is tough even for me as a 37-year-old to swallow.
That's a good one.
He wasn't alive.
Yeah, I know.
He wasn't alive for the Tiger Slam. He was not he was not born when Tiger won four in a row.
He was not worried that his devices wouldn't work during Y2K. He wasn't even born yet.
It's unbelievable. Oh,
that's why he's so relaxed.
I was gonna say that's why he's great on planes. He's never considered otherwise.
Jacob, Tom Kim did show up and he thanks us for the kind words. Pull up this comment here. Tom Kim, yes, so he does listen after he wins. Thank you, Tom. Congratulations on your win.
Big win.
I knew it.
That's not real.
No, it's not real.
Kyle, even I know that, man. Come on.
There's Tiger Woods has been in the chat before.
It could be real.
Actually,
that's a live bot. That's one of those live bots. There are thousands of them floating around right now.
Tom Kim is definitely like the best chance of someone who would listen to this show. He's 20. It's on YouTube.
The YouTube.
There's a chance.
He's probably watching Dude Perfect right now.
I think the latest comment kind of.
He's planning on increasing his club head speed, and he's going north of 180 miles an hour soon. That's him.
So good. All right, Jets. A lot of fun.
10 shots putting next week. You heard it here first.
10 shots, not strokes, but shots.
Right. From Tom himself. DFS preview for the. Okay. So now it's the FedEx St. Jude Championship, formerly the WGC, FedEx St. Jude Invitational, formerly the FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that Monday DFS preview, Tuesday mega preview pod, round by round recaps all the way. Jacob, just hit the playoffs drop one more time before we
Hey.
Jacob.
Playoffs? Yeah, that was butchered. But remember playoffs? when Scotty Scheffler shot 59 at the St. Jude?
No, that was at Northern Trust. Trust.
The graphic is going to show he shot 59 at St. Jude.
Yeah.
Such a classic playoff moment.
Remember DJ was almost shot a 57 like 2 hours later?
Yeah.
That was the most disappointing 60 I've ever seen.
Yeah, Tiger's won like 9 events in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's never been down there, but he won the Mexico Open 9 times.
Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman is available at Mark_Immelman. Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. And Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.